We are privileged to have Brother Byron Keith here with us from Seattle, Washington. And Brother Byron's topic for this afternoon is the Council of Peter. Brother Byron.
Thank you very much, Brother Peter. Brother Peter and I had a discussion before I came up here that this is not the council of Brother Peter, but rather the Apostle Peter. Although I'm sure the council of Brother Peter would be good too. Well, brother, it's wonderful to be here like the others that have been here before. I want to bring the love from the Seattle, your brethren in Seattle. Actually, 40% of us are here today. That would be 2 out of 5. Our class has shrunk like many other ecclesias around our country and the world. But they all wanted to be remembered to you. And that would be Brother Dave and Sister Joanna Christensen and Sister Lori Flynn. So when you have 5, you can mention all of them by name. I also have some other love to bring to you, and that's from your brethren in Australia. Sister Margie and I had the privilege of visiting Australia for their convention at the end of January, and then made visits to the Polish class in Melbourne, and then went up to Sydney to see the brethren at that small class. And everywhere we went, they asked that their love be sent back to all the brethren in the United States. So I'm glad to bring their love to you also. The Council of Peter. If I came up here and asked you to give us a one-word description of the Apostle Peter, what might you say? I'm hearing a lot of good words. How about these words? Bold. Everyone says yes. Self-assured. Enthusiastic. Confident. Honest. You know, when we list words like that, we're listing the qualifications of a leader. And as we look into the life of Peter, and especially his time with our master, all of these words come into play. And it's not surprising that we find that Peter, amongst the disciples of Jesus, quickly led him to become the de facto spokesman of the 12. It was Peter who said, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? It was Peter who said, "Explain the parable to us." It was Peter who said, "We have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" It was Peter who said, "Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all?" It was Peter who spoke out before any of the other apostles spoke out to ask these questions. And yet, despite possessing all of these positive character traits, at that time, Peter was not a leader. There's a saying that says, before you are a leader, success is all about growing yourself. When you become a leader, success is all about growing others. Peter had to grow himself before he could grow others. Bold. Peter was too bold. On one occasion, he even rebuked our Lord. This is recorded in Mark 8, verses 31 to 33. It says, "Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And when he was stating the matter plainly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, but turning around and seeing his disciple, Jesus rebuked Peter and said, 'Get thee behind me, Satan. You are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's.'" Can you imagine telling the Messiah what he can and cannot do? Peter actually thought he knew better than Jesus. But now he learned to be bold in Christ and not in himself. Self-assured. Peter was too self-assured. In Matthew 14, 25 to 31, we have the account of Jesus walking on the water, and it was mentioned this morning. We want to read that passage to you. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And I think back to our lesson this morning about strength and courage. He had the courage once the Lord told him to come to him. And Peter got out of the boat and walked in the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Can you imagine having the courage to walk on water to see your master there? Peter did. He had the self-assurance to step out onto the water. But when he allowed himself to take his eyes off of Jesus and see the wind and the waves, he began to sink. When Jesus took his hand, Peter learned to have faith in Jesus, not in himself. Enthusiastic? Peter was too enthusiastic. Matthew 17, 1-4 details the events of Jesus' transfiguration. It says, 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make 3 tabernacles here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." That's enthusiasm. Here's Peter. John didn't say anything. James didn't say anything. But in his enthusiasm in the moment, Peter says, "Let's throw down some tents and stay here. This is a good place to be." Can you imagine suggesting to Jesus to pitch tents and stay there for a while? Well, maybe we might fall into that one ourselves. We might want to do that ourselves. But while Peter was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And Peter learned quickly that earthly tabernacles must be replaced with the real vision of the kingdom. Confident. Peter was too confident. Matthew 26, 31-35 says, Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." But Peter said to him, "Even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, that this very night before a rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And Peter said to him confidently, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." Can you imagine telling Jesus that your confidence in yourself is greater than what he just told you it would be? Well, we know what happened that night, and we know that he learned a lesson of confidence. His confidence should not be in himself. It taught him the lesson of humility. Honest. Peter wasn't honest enough when he was with the disciples. In Galatians 2:11-14, we have an account where Paul had to open Peter's eyes to true honesty when being with your brethren. It says, "When Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face," this is Paul speaking, "because he stood condemned. For prior to coming of certain men of James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision. The rest of the Jews joined him in this hypocrisy, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in the presence of all, 'If you, being a Jew, live like the Gentiles and not like the Jews, how is it that you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews?'" Can you imagine being as dishonest with your brethren as Peter was in this incident? Not by accident, Peter would be there at the first spirit begettal of a Gentile. And it's recorded for us in Acts 10, 44 to 48. While Peter was still speaking, notice it's Peter that's here in the house of Cornelius. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. All the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered, "Surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he?" And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And through these experiences, Peter learned to love his brethren unconditionally. So we see that through the harsh trials of faith, Peter was growing into the foundational rock of the church. And this had been predicted by Jesus. We'd like to read Jesus' kind of forecasting of this event in Matthew 16, 15 through 18. Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, of course it was Peter who answered first, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." You know, when Peter heard these words, he was starting to mature. And a later mature Peter would explain that what Jesus was saying was he was explaining that this was the start of God's intention to build a church. Now, the Catholic Church would have us believe that these words were that he was the first pope. And, of course, we know that that's not true. But in 1 Peter 2, 4 to 10, a mature, grown Peter says this words about him being the rock upon which the church would be built. "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." And we see in these words a mature Peter. We see his character softened by the experiences and ready to be used in the spiritual knowledge to encourage the brethren, to give counsel unto the brethren. Brother Russell says this about the epistles of Peter. He says, "There is a touching tenderness in the epistle of the aged apostle Peter to the household of faith. He writes two general epistles, not so much to advance new truth, as to call to remembrance truths already learned and fully received, and to counsel all to faithfulness and to growth in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Yes, Peter speaks of the sufferings for Christ which we must expect as a part of our Christian walk when he said, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you, but says it is more precious than gold and make us glad with exceeding joy. He says our mutual suffering will knit us together in love." This is the mature Peter speaking. And he speaks of the importance of prophecy. He says, "As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow." We had this thought brought up in our study today, didn't we? That the prophecies point towards our place in God's plan. And Peter warns us of Satan. He says, be sober. Be of a sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And finally, over and over, Peter stresses love for the brethren, saying, to sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. This is the aged Apostle Peter. Knowledge and experience now combined into wisdom, he yearns to share with all of us before he died. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, he says, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. I love that phrase. Jesus Christ made it clear to him. He took away the boldness that was too bold, the self-assuredness that he had in himself. He replaced it with a reliance on the words of the Master and the promises of God. And I will also be diligent, he says, that at any time after my departure you will be able to call these things to mind. And so the counsel of Peter are things that we want to be able to call to mind. And the things that he speaks of were in the previous words spoken in 2 Peter 1, 1 through 11. You've heard these words so many times, but as Peter always wanted to remind us, even though we already know them, listen to them again. For as the King James Version states it, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, you never will fall. And the things we're going to read are the counsel of Peter. 2 Peter 1, 1 through 11. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, through the true knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them ye may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence knowledge, and your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control perseverance, and in your perseverance godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. He's giving us a roadmap to heaven. And it only came after his own personal trials and suffering mellowed him, gave him wisdom, gave him more love, slowed him down. We see now him telling us to develop moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. The words we mentioned when we started that he was not applying rightly, boldness. Well, now he was applying his boldness through the Master. Self-assured. Now he was self-assured through his experience, not in his own strength, but in God's word. Enthusiastic, he was now enthusiastic in his service to the brethren. Confident, he was now confident in God's promises. Honest, he was now honest with all of his brethren. These are the qualities we look for in a leader. A traveling preacher arrived in a small town to preach a sermon one weekend, and wanting to post a letter, he asked a young boy where the post office was. When the boy had told him, the preacher thanked him and said, "If you come to the Baptist church this evening, you can hear me telling everyone how to get to heaven." The boy replied, "I don't think I'll be there. You don't even know the way to the post office." The preacher wasn't ready to give directions. Peter wasn't ready to give directions at first. Peter had to go through this process that he gave in his counsel to us. My dear brethren, the Apostle Peter knew how to get to heaven, and he gave us this roadmap. His final recorded words of 2 Peter 3:18 hold the key: "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever." And may the Lord add his blessing.